Tonight we are focusing upon the Holy Spirit as a spirit of wisdom. The child of God should not be looking for outward signs in making life's choices, but should rather rely upon the Holy Spirit. We spent some time looking at Gideon and saw that putting out a fleece is not the way to ascertain the will of God, that Gideon did not put out the fleece in order to determine what God's will was. He knew what God's will was. God told him to go to battle against the Midianites. Rather, he put out the fleece to seek to have have God authenticate his word. And then we were looking at other portions of Scripture that has to deal with signs. And so tonight, we emphasize that the Holy Spirit, who is a spirit of wisdom, enables the child of God to make wise choices that please God and accomplish his purposes. So the Holy Spirit enables the child of God not only to choose between the right and the wrong, but also distinguish between the better and the best. Philippians 1, 9, and 10 states, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. My presupposition for tonight is that what we need in order to make good and wise decisions is for the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, to instruct us and teach us. He is going to do so not apart from the word, but through the word, but it is necessary for him to take that word and give us the ability to make wise decisions. The scripture, of course, is adequate. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So everything we need to know is given to us in the Word of God. Now you say, well, what about right now I'm in a dilemma as to what I should do? There are two job opportunities before me. What scripture verse is going to answer which job I should take? And obviously, you can't go to the Word of God and discern in that particular way. You're not going to be able to open the scripture that says now, tomorrow, you are to make this application and you're to go this particular spot. But rather, the Word of God furnishes us principles, and then we have to apply those principles. And in order to apply them correctly, we need the Holy Spirit's enablement. So number one, the New Testament repeatedly addresses the need for wisdom in making decisions, as opposed to the seeking of signs. We don't find any admonitions or imperatives that teach us that we're to go to God and seek signs from him. Rather, we are told that we're to go to God and seek wisdom from him. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Repeatedly, prayers are offered in the New Testament, not seeking signs, but wisdom. So the first part simply emphasizes that in each one of these passages, we're talking about prayer. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray. Colossians 1:9. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask. And then Ephesians 1:15, while making mention of you in my prayers. So my simple point there is we are looking at prayers. Now notice that these prayers are seeking wisdom from God. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, that your love would abound more and more in real knowledge. There are two aspects that we need in order to make wise decisions. We need knowledge, which is simply information. We need information. We find the information in the Word of God. Then we need discernment. We need the ability to rightly apply what we read in the Word of God to our particular context, to our particular situation, to our particular life choices. That is the discerning aspect of what we need. So that you may approve, choose the things that are excellent. So here it's not simply between the good and the bad, but even between the better and the best. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, that is their faith, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you would know God's will with spiritual wisdom and understanding. The Word of God tells us his will. The Spirit gives us the understanding to rightly apply that will. Notice verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that we would conduct ourselves in an appropriate fashion, one that brings honor and glory to God, or as it says in verse 10, to please him in all or every respect, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So our ability to make wise choices is going to increase over time. We are going to progress in our wisdom, and we will progress in our wisdom as we progress in our knowledge. I'm going to be emphasizing knowledge more next week. Tonight it's on wisdom. Ephesians 1:15. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. A spirit of wisdom and of revelation. The spirit of wisdom is a wisdom that is found or sourced in the Holy Spirit. The one who is the source of wisdom is also the source of revelation. Last week, we said, how can we know the mind of God unless he reveals that mind to us? So the Holy Spirit is responsible for our having received the Word of God. And last week, we emphasized that the Word of God is more sure than any experience that one could have. The Apostle Peter said that the Word of God was more certain than the experience he had on the Mount of Transfiguration. Why? Because it comes from the Holy Spirit. It isn't just his own senses responding to what he saw and heard on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Word of God is a product of the Holy Spirit and thus much more reliable, much more certain. But that same Holy Spirit who gives us the Word also gives us the ability to understand and apply that Word. See, the wisdom that is to be sought is spiritual wisdom or a spirit of wisdom. It is spiritual wisdom in that it is wisdom that comes from the Spirit. It would be a genitive of source. Colossians 1:10, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit of wisdom, for it is indeed wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. This would be a descriptive genitive, meaning that the ability that the Holy Spirit imparts to us is rightly described as wisdom. The Holy Spirit isn't going to reveal foolishness to us, but the Holy Spirit is going to reveal wisdom to us. D, the Scripture does not teach that we are to ask God to open and close doors for us as a means of determining his will. So we looked at fleeces. Now we move to one that is closely related to that, is asking God to open and close doors so that in essence we don't have to make a decision. He makes the decision for us. So that kind of prayer would say, I have a job interview tomorrow. I don't know if I should take this job or that job. So if I'm not to take that job, don't let them offer it to me. If I am to take that job, then open the door, make it possible for me, and then I'll know that I should take that job. You're going to look in vain. I know that that's typical. I know that that's preached and everything else, but you're going to look in vain in the Scriptures to find that kind of teaching. That can readily and easily violate the Word of God. Okay, that's why we need the Scripture and we need wisdom. Okay? It would be wrong for me to look at a beautiful Corvette, you know? Jack, nice Corvette. Be nice to have a Corvette. Always thought it'd be nice to have a Corvette. And so I'm going to pray and ask God, if you want me to have that Corvette, let there be keys in the ignition. And if you don't want me to have that Corvette, may there be no keys in the ignition. And I walk up, and lo and behold, there are keys in that ignition. So I just nicely open the door, slide in, start it up, drive off, and now that's my car. Well, no, I know that the Scripture teaches you don't steal. I know that the Scripture, you see, it's Scripture and then wisdom to apply it to any particular circumstance. I know what God's Word says about stealing, so I know what I need to do in relationship to that Corvette sitting there with its keys in its ignition. We need to learn the Word of God and to apply that Word of God through wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit that we are relying upon for that wisdom. The Scripture does speak about open doors. And so I want to look at what it has to say about open doors. But it never, underline that word, never speaks about it in terms of ascertaining the will of God. So what are the passages talking about doors? Number one, when the Scripture speaks of an open door, it speaks of a wonderful opportunity. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a wide door for effective service has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul had made a decision, 1 Corinthians 16:8, but I shall remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. That is a decision that was made. And note that in this verse, there's a great opportunity afforded Paul. for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Number one, it is described as not only a door has been opened, but a wide door. A wide door. It is a wide door because not only is there opportunity to serve, but to have a profitable ministry. For a wide door for effective service. Not only does he have the opportunity to minister, but it's effectual. People are coming to faith. It is proving to be valuable. Number three, at the same time, there are obstacles to be overcome. For a wide door for effectual service has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. I point that out to demonstrate that this wide door doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory and that there are no difficulties or hardships that he is going to have to persevere in. But the wide door is providing great opportunity. At the same time, there are great adversities. If one was just making the decision on what is the least path of resistance, one might be in a dilemma. On the one hand, it looks like I'm being very effective, but on the other hand, I've got all these adversaries and hardships and difficulties. So what should I do? What is God leading me in? What is God directing me? How am I to read, as it were, the circumstances that I'm in? Do you weigh them out? Do you count them? Well, I've got these many converts and I've had these many troubles. No, okay? He has made a decision recognizing the grace of God and also the adversaries that he has to overcome. Again, in this verse, there's an opportunity for Paul to preach the gospel. This door is not a sign that Paul is seeking or comes as a result of prayer. Now, when I come to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. You see, he had come to Troas to preach the gospel. He wasn't asking God, do you want me to preach the gospel? He came to Troas to preach the gospel. And a door, an opportunity was opened for him in the Lord. And so he had no rest for his spirit in finding Titus and his brother, but taking my leave of them, I went up to Macedonia. Three, Paul asks prayer to be made that a door, an opportunity to preach the gospel would be open to him. He is not asking that God make known his will. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been in prison. Paul's in prison. And in that imprisonment, he's asking that a door, that is an opportunity, would be open for him to preach the word. Verse 4, in order that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. He's not saying that he's asking God, while he is in prison, to show him whether or not he is to speak. He's not seeking to determine the will of God. He knows that he ought to speak. He's asking for that opportunity. He's asking God to bless him in that great work or effort. Okay? So when it's talking about a door, it's talking about an opportunity. So it is right to say, when looking at a job, there is a door open for me in the sense that an opportunity is available. But to take that as a sign to determine right and wrong, or what we should do or what we should not do, is alien to any of these passages that talk about a door. Number two, the informing theology of the Old Testament with respect to the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit granted the wisdom necessary to build the tabernacle. Number one, Moses was shown, that is, he received a vision of what the tabernacle was to look like, Exodus 25, 8 and 9. And let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. So Moses was given a vision, a PowerPoint of building the tabernacle. He was able to envision it. He was able to see it. God made it demonstrably clear in a revelation as to what this tabernacle was to look like. That's all well and good. But we know Moses is not the one who built the tabernacle. Others built the tabernacle. How was Moses to communicate to the workmen what he saw? I don't know how handy Moses was. I'm not handy, okay? My father-in-law, Bonnie's dad, was incredibly handy. And one of the things that he could do is he could design machinery. In fact, that was his job. That's what he did for Polymer Corporation. He would design new machinery to build whatever it was that they needed to build or construct. And one of the things that he could do is he could walk through another factory and just look at a machine and immediately understand how it operated and functioned and go back and duplicate it. Okay, I don't know if Moses could do that. I don't know if Moses understood when he saw this beautiful altar how he was going to construct it, the metals, how he was going to melt it, how he was going to pour it, how he's going to create the forms, and all those kind of things. There doesn't appear in the Word of God that Moses in any way instructs the laborers in how to do this. How does that happen? Well, notice, number two, God granted wisdom through the Holy Spirit to individuals to equip them with the ability to construct the tabernacle along with that which was necessary for administering tabernacle worship. Exodus 28, verse 3. And you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom. God gave to these workmen a spirit of wisdom to know how to do what Moses was going to tell them what to do. He was going to declare God's will. He was going to declare what was to be built. But it was going to be the spirit of wisdom that would help them do what they knew that God wanted them to do. Exodus 31, 2 and following. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the son of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. It was the Holy Spirit that enabled Bezalel to actually oversee and accomplish the building of the tabernacle, because God gave him wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all kinds of craftsmanship. I submit to you that God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And that purpose is achieved, first of all, by giving us spiritual gifts. We refer to them as spiritual gifts because they are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. They're not spiritual in the sense that they are ethereal or mystical. They are gifts that are imparted by the Holy Spirit. The gift of preaching, the gift of teaching, the gift of giving, the gift of administration, the gift of helps. These are very practical endowments of ability and responsibility. But not only does the Spirit give us gifts, but the Spirit then also imparts the wisdom to be able to use those gifts in the way that bring honor and glory to God. So here in the Old Testament. B. The role of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of wisdom in the life of Jesus is prophesied in the Old Testament. Number one, it is prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon the Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots, and will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So that in his humanity, Jesus is going to be able to rightly apply the Word of God. We know from the New Testament that it says concerning Jesus that he increased in knowledge and wisdom. He grew in knowledge and wisdom as a human being. And it was the Holy Spirit that gave him that incredible ability to be able to rightly apply the Word of God in such a way that even the rabbis were amazed at that ability. And then later on, of course, they're amazed at the ability of the apostles to teach the Word of God. And they say, these are unlearned, these are ignorant men. How are they able to do this? Answer is the Spirit of wisdom. Two, further, the Spirit of the Lord is further described as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and knowledge. Isaiah 11, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is the exercise of good judgment. Understanding is intellectual comprehension. Counsel is the ability to reflect with skill, including both deliberation and discernment of purpose. Deuteronomy 32:28, for they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future, that they would understand what is going to come upon them. But they are ignorant. They are not able to ascertain the truth of God's word. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. In other words, they should have realized that they were out of the will of God when two people could put 10,000 people to flight. How does that happen? How does 10,000 people, how do 10,000 people run when they meet a foe of two? It is demonstrating that the children of Israel should have seen. They should have understood by the circumstances that they were in. The Battle of Jericho, all the mighty wonders that they had been able to witness, but they had an inability. They failed to put into a right frame of reference what God was doing. Thus, the ability to accurately foresee the consequences of one's actions. All right, it's like today. I'm amazed sometimes at talking with people, and they will talk about this series of bad luck that they've encountered. You know, that they have made choice A, choice B, choice C, and now they have bad luck. Well, it's usually that choice A was a bad choice, choice B was a worse choice, choice C was worse than that, and now they're in a miserable plight. It's not bad luck, but they failed to recognize that a series of decisions has led them to this point in their life. And they don't know how to get out of it. And you can't just make a prayer that says, God, deliver me from this. But you've got to make wise decisions that backtrack and counteract those bad decisions that you have made in your life. It requires wisdom, discretion. That's what the Holy Spirit provides for us. D, knowledge, to see what one's set one's eyes upon, to have a love for knowledge of truth. Thus, in the context, to have a love for the truth concerning God. So we want information. We want knowledge to be able to make right decisions. And then we need wisdom to put that knowledge into practice. And one of the reasons that we have such difficulty in ascertaining the will of God, quite frankly, is because we have such a paltry knowledge of the Scriptures. A paltry knowledge of the Scriptures. We want to take a shortcut. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We don't want to do that. We'd rather pray and say, if the keys are in it, I'll take it. If the keys aren't in it, I won't take it. That's simple. I don't want to have to learn about what the Ten Commandments are. I don't want to learn about the commands of Scripture. I don't want to do that. And just to drive home our paltry understanding of Scripture, and I don't mean this to be a ridicule, but it's sobering, okay? I'd like you just to think for a moment, how many books of the Old Testament can you work through in your mind? What's in the book of Malachi? What's it about? What's in the book of Obadiah? How many chapters are there in Isaiah? How much of God's word do you really know? And I'll put myself in there too. How much of God's word do I really know? If I don't know what's in it, there's no way that I can apply it. There's no way that I can look at principles from it. There's no way that I can take into consideration what Obadiah says if I have no clue what it says. So we really need to work on our knowledge so that the Holy Spirit can bring us wisdom. It is wonderful the way the Holy Spirit will bring to our keyword remembrance portions of Scripture. You know, it's fascinating to me when I'm in certain discussions and I need a verse, all of a sudden it'll be there. If I'm playing Bible trivia, a lot of times I'm not that great at Bible trivia because I can't come up with it. I know it's there. The Holy Spirit isn't interested in making me win Bible trivia. The Holy Spirit is interested in aiding me when I am seeking to minister the word of God to someone else. Bring to remembrance. But the key word there is remembrance. If you don't know it in the first place, He's not going to reveal it to you. The revelation is here. We need to take the revelation and apply it. So see, note now the benefit of Christ having received the spirit of knowledge and wisdom. Isaiah 11:3, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, which is the direct result of knowledge, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not rely upon his own judgment, will not judge by what he sees, nor make a decision by what he hears. In other words, he's not going to be like the earthly judges that we have, that's the only way that they can make decisions, based on what they see and what they hear. It's experiential. He is going to make decisions based upon the Holy Spirit. You see, what we are not to do is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's great. Well, when it says, don't lean on your own understanding, it doesn't mean that we put our heads into neutral. No, we're studying the Word of God, but we're not relying upon our own abilities to interpret the Scripture themselves. I'm all for study. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful to be diagramming sentences, to be learning language, to do everything under your power to ascertain what the Word of God says. We need to bring that to the table. But if that's all we rely upon, we're never going to understand the Word of God as we need to. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to take that product of our study and make it practical. Furnish us with the understanding of what do I do in light of what this particular portion of Scripture says. You see, to me, that is the most difficult aspect of preaching the Word of God. Explaining the Word is relatively simple. Applying the Word is much more difficult. If you ever listen, many times, a preacher's application has nothing to do with the text. They read the text, they explain the text, and then the application is over here somewhere. The real difficulty is taking the text and then rightly demonstrating its significance for today, for you and me. How do we live in light of what this book says? That is the main importance of preaching. And it's the main importance of our study and of our devotional life. Not just to go away feeling good, but today, knowing what God would have me to do as a result of having meditated, prayed, and read the Word of God. So, 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, if they would have understood rightly Jesus' claims, they understood them up here. They understood he was saying that he was the Son of God. They rejected that. They understood that he was saying that he was the king. They rejected that. They understood that he was saying that he was the Messiah, but the point was they didn't take it to heart. They didn't believe it. They didn't apply it. They didn't submit to him as the Son of God. And as a result, they made a stupid decision, and that was they decided to crucify him. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So why do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Why do we believe that he is the King of Kings? And why have we responded to him by saying, it's an atrocity that you were nailed to the cross? And we respond to him as our Lord and our Savior. Answer, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He applied that truth to us so that we heard the gospel and we responded to the gospel. Billy Graham's publication is Decision Magazine. Oftentimes, receiving Christ is referred to as making a decision. Well, it's true. We decide to accept or reject the gospel of Christ. But where is the power coming from to make the right choice? It's the Holy Spirit. Opens our hearts and minds to understand the truth in such a way that we respond to it in an appropriate fashion. All I'm saying tonight is, take that and multiply it 1,001 aspects in our life, that through his word, he gives us wisdom to understand and apply the word of God. I got to quit. I just looked at my watch and I see that it's 5 after. The emphasis of tonight is, do your homework, give yourself to a study of the scriptures, and then ask God to give you the wisdom to apply those scriptures to my daily life's decisions and circumstances. I'll say more next week. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your Spirit that instructs us, teaches us, that has been imparted to us. So, Lord, certainly help us to not rely upon our own wisdom, but readily, quickly run to you to give us a spirit of wisdom. Help us repeatedly as we read the Word of God, ask you to teach us what it has to say. And Lord, help us to realize that we can't ask you to teach us what we are not willing to learn. So Lord, give us time in your Word. Give us diligence. Help us to recognize that the spiritual understanding and wisdom we want is going to be founded on our knowledge of the Word of God. So give us a proper balance in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.